Welcome to Women's Wellness Podcast with Lucy Cotinho and Nahal Horn. This is a podcast by and about BIPOC women who are going through the healing process. We hold this space for women to share their unique stories, created with our love for storytelling and passion for mental health and wellness in mind. The aim for this podcast is to help amplify the voices of women everywhere. These conversations will feel like having a warm cup of coffee or tea with a friend. So go grab yours and let's dive right in. Today, we're just so excited, really, about our guest. Cisneros is here to join us. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, marriage coach, course creator, a retreat host, and she is a mother of three lovely children, and she has been married, ready for this, for 23 years. She's here to talk to us about intergenerational trauma, what it means, and how it can affect our intimate relationships and also our relationships in general. And also offer us some tips how to work through it together. Welcome, Veronica. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing good. I'm so excited to be on here.
Yeah, we are excited to have you. So let's just dive right in with our first question, because I know Nahal is very excited for this one.
I know. I've been itching for this conversation. I feel like it's such an important topic. And I know everyone listening is going to walk away with just feeling heard and seen, I believe, because let's face it, no matter what kind of background you come from, what ethnicity, what country, everyone has trauma, like either in the lifetime that they're living now or the grandparents or great grandparents. So I wanted to ask you, how do we know, not everybody's going to therapy. So how would someone know that they're operating out of like a trauma response? Like are there telltale signs?
I love this question. So yes and no. So with that generational trauma, that intergenerational trauma, it's really hard to pinpoint. Here's why. This is what's familiar for us, right? Like, we don't know any difference. Let me give you a quick example. So I grew up, my dad was a heroin addict, an alcoholic, a gang member. And I grew up in that, although we didn't grow up in like the hood, but I grew up in that mindset, right? Like it was, I mean, if I definitely had my phones tapped, right? And so did you, duh. Like, I just assumed that you did as well. Of course, like my dad does drugs, but so does yours, right? Or like, this is just the way family is. So is yours, right? And it wasn't until, so I went to, obviously I went to grad school, and part of, graduating and being able to pursue my career as a therapist, you have to have so many hours of your own personal therapy. And so there I am sitting in the therapist office, telling her, sharing a past story of mine, a past memory. And I'm sharing the past memory, and I'm like cool as a cucumber, telling her about like how my, some guy hit on me and it was really disrespectful to me. So my dad just took care of it. And I remember like the therapist looking at me like wide-eyed, and she's like, she just kind of like stopped writing. And I was already confused on why she was writing to begin with, because that part didn't matter. I was getting to the good part. So it was, like, didn't make sense to me, right? I'm like, why are you writing? Like, I didn't even get to the good part yet. And so I'm telling her, this guy hit on me and then he called me a bad word, right? I don't know if we cuss on here, so I'm gonna keep it clean.
But it's fine. Whatever you desire.
Okay, so he came up to me and he's like, hey, can I get your number? And I'm like, my parents are picking me up. Like, I'm good, And he's like, dude, just give me your number. And I'm like, no, I'm good. And he's like, damn, what a bitch. And he walked away. Right. So he walks away, and me and my friend were just like, whatever. And then this, one of his friends literally ran to him and he's like, dude, do you know who you're talking to? And he's like, man, she's just this bitch, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, 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 no. That's Weddle's daughter. And I guess the guy had known who my dad was. My dad was obviously, he was a head honcho of a gang. He's like, no, 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 that's Weddle's daughter. And the guy that had previously approached me ran to me and he's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Like all of a sudden he's like begging me to forgive him. Well, my dad pulls up. My dad pulls up. I thought it was going to be my mom, but my dad pulls up and he sees this guy like just apologizing to me. And my dad gets out of the car and, you know, me and my friend just casually walk to the car. And my dad looks over to his friend who had warned him who I was. And my dad was like, take care of it. And then he told us to get in the car and we left. And, you know, I remember the therapist going, take care of it. Like what was okay? Like what happened? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. The guy took care of it. But anyway, so like, this is what I'm trying to get at. And so I was trying to get her to like, follow me, my story, my memory. And she was so laser, like so focused on Veronica. Do you find anything wrong? Cause you just say he took care of it casually. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like completely confused. Like, why is she still stuck on this? Like, let's move on. Mm. And not that I was like, I didn't care about the person, but it was just, it was my norm. And obviously it's a pretty extreme norm, you know, and now being a therapist, it's like, oh, okay, wait a minute.
Wait,
that's not really normal, right?
What exactly did he actually do something like to take care of it part? Like, fill me in a little bit. I know I'm like, oh, is that, so, I'd like to fill that in.
Well, so he ended up getting beat up. The guy totally got beat up. He didn't die. But the guy totally got beat up. And, you know, it was just the way things were handled back then. Like, you know, and I shouldn't say handled back then, but like, because I don't want to speak in general for everybody, but like for me and for like what I grew up knowing, that was my norm. And so when you ask this question on what are some key identifiers, it's so hard to pinpoint because you're so used to a certain lifestyle, you know, that anything else, it's like you don't know until you're introduced to it. And the minute you're introduced to it, you're like, oh, wait a minute. This actually happens, or this is the way mom and dads act towards each other. Like they don't yell. There's no domestic violence. Like this is completely foreign. And so you don't know unless you know. And I guess when you start developing that realization is when you start educating yourself, or when you start being exposed to different norms.
That is interesting. And it just made me think of something. Do you think on the flip side of that also, like say, because you just mentioned like being in a relationship where everything is peaceful and you actually get along with someone and you communicate effectively, whatever. Sometimes I feel this is what I've seen happen is that the other person may feel like this is boring. Yeah. This is uncomfortable. Yes. This feels like I need to disrupt this because it feels unnatural. And like, so that is really interesting.
I love that you bring this up. I totally love that you bring this up. So as you guys know, I've been married for 23 years, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so my husband and I, you know, his dad wasn't a gang member. But his biological dad also struggled with heroin, you know, and addiction. And so there was some level of familiarity, right? Mm. And like I mentioned earlier, I didn't grow up in the hood, but my husband did. And so there was also this form of like, okay, we can understand each other.
Right.
However, my husband grew up in a household where like, physical touch, like hugging and like, you know, hugging was kind of like the norm. Yeah. And there wasn't a lot of emotional expression, you know, but there was a little bit more of involvement as like, you know, with his mom and his stepdad. And so there was a little bit more of involvement. And so when my husband and I would argue, well, I grew up with my dad just completely avoiding or going into lashing out, but his lashing out involved domestic violence. And with my mom would just kind of be submissive, and she would be submissive, submissive, and then she would explode, and then my dad would leave. In his household, his mom was a little bit more of the, I guess I would call her like the aggressor. Like she would put her foot down more. There was domestic violence in his household as well, in the, with his biological father. But like there was different roles, you know, there was totally different roles. So when Willie and I would get into arguments in the first years of our marriage, well, I took my dad's role. I was like, I'm out. You know, I'm out. Like, I get to leave. Like, if I'm going to pick one of these roles to be in, like, hell yeah, my dad looked like he had it so much easier than my mom. So I'm out. I mean, I didn't cheat, you know, like my dad did, but those are the things I would do. Where my husband, he would try to have conversations with me. And then if he seen that I was, you know, I was a little bit overwhelmed emotionally, what he would do is he would lock himself in the room. He wouldn't leave. He would just lock himself in the room. And it was like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, wait, he would lock both of you in the room.
No, hell no.
Himself.
In
the room.
Yeah. Okay. He wanted to get away.
Yes.
Where do I go?
Like, what do I, so for both of us in the beginning stages of our marriage, we were trying to figure out what our roles were and how it fit in our marriage. But what was literally interfering with that ability was we were trying to stick with what's familiar, regardless of how unhealthy it was. We were trying to stick with what was familiar, but it wasn't really working for us, you know? And it wasn't working for us because we had no skills on how to communicate with each other, like zero. We
didn't. How many years were you married when you guys were communicating like this? Was it in the very first couple of years?
Yes. I would say the first 4 years, that's how it went. And it wasn't until our divorce. Like, so we ended up going through a moment where we were 1 month away from divorce. Huh. Yeah, we had just had our daughter Aaliyah. We had just had our daughter Aaliyah, and we separated. So Aaliyah was born in August. We separated in October, so she was only a couple months old. We were just like, okay, well, this is the way it's gonna go. For me, it was like, what the hell is happening? He was a drill instructor. And although we were both warned in the military, especially if you're a drill instructor, after he graduated from being a DI, they had told us, listen, your marriage has about 96% chance of failing. Like, just know this.
What in the world?
96%. They took all of us wives in the room and they said, congratulations, your husband's a drill instructor. Look to the left, look to the right. 96% of you will not be here at the end of this tour.
Wait, what is it about the profession that doesn't allow for that?
Yeah, no, of course. Great question. So with drill instructors, those are the ones with the smoky bear hats, right? That are like yelling at the recruits. They're in that role for three years. A drill instructor, you are gone. Like, you are in the barracks with your recruits. You're not, like, literally you become this robot. And I know that's so crazy to say, and like even process, but literally you are conditioned to become a robot for obvious reasons, right? Obvious reasons. But like, I didn't realize how much this was going to impact our marriage, because Willie was legit. Like, he wouldn't sleep, and he would come home with like, when he would come home, he'd come home maybe for like an hour, two or three to sleep. And I would want to like talk to him, and I was home, you know, pregnant. So it was like, I wasn't with anybody. We had moved away. And so it's like, there's literally this seclusion. And with our already unhealthy skills, We had no clue that that literally was going to be the demise of us.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I imagine being a drill instructor, like you have this very authoritative kind of persona you have to consistently have. And then when you go home, how do you like turn it off?
Oh girl. Right? Yeah. There was a time I remember, oh my God, what did he say? He like said some line and, I can't even remember.
Was it like attention?
No. Yeah, oh no, girl. He would have had a chunkla. He would have had a chunkla being thrown at him. Hell no. No, I remember. Do you understand? I remember him saying that like harshly. Do you understand? And I was like, oh hell. I remember how this went. And this ain't going to go down the way it went down with my mom. Like, yeah. Oh hell no.
Right? You're going to tell your daddy, he better know.
Yeah, not to exactly. Do that. Oh, hell no.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I remember there being that disconnect. There were other things that were happening in our marriage that, again, what we were familiar with, those roles we were familiar with and taught wasn't serving our marriage. It wasn't serving it.
So when did you guys realize that together, or was it something that you realized and communicated to him? How did that happen?
Yeah, great question. So none of us communicated it because we didn't know that that was what was wrong.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, and that's the trouble with most marriages, most relationships. You don't know what you don't know. And so for us, it's like, wait a minute. Why aren't you loving me? Why aren't you allowing me to love you? Like, you just have to be this way and I'll love you and everything will be okay.
Right.
But, you know, on the opposite end, it's like, well, if you were just this way, then I could love you and everything would be okay. You know, so we're both in this combative war zone, not even knowing that our weapons are always drawn.
Always on the defense.
Bingo. We had no clue. Again, like you just take care of it. Like that's just the way things are. So when you're looking at me saying, well, Veronica, this guy called me, you know, bitch. It's like, well, where's your dad? So he can go, you know, jack his ass up. Like, right. Okay. Well, there's ways to take care of it. Why are you telling me? You know what I mean? Like, where's your dad? You know, or, you know, well, let's go ahead and handle it or whatever, you know, like how are we going to do this? You know? So you don't know what you don't know. And again, this is why, you know, and it's not only marriages, it's most relationships. This is why we stay on the defensive and we personalize everything.
Everything. Yeah. 100%. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. The ego is very active, like all the
Bingo.
Time.
Bingo. Bingo.
And then we feel like they should know what we've been through and we make excuses for, well, I went through this in my childhood, so you should have sympathy, or like, this is how you treat me. But nobody can read your mind, and they don't get the manual from, you know, like the backpack of all the luggage, or like
the baggage
that we all carry into our relationships,
because we all have it. So would you recommend like therapy? Obviously that's a big one, like going to couples therapy before, so you can kind of unpack all of these things together. I feel like sometimes I feel like we don't even know what we need to unpack, right? No. So certain relationships trigger certain things and it comes out and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know I had all of this stuff to work through.
Bingo. So when you start to feel that disconnection, a lot of us are like, well, we're just in a bad place. We're just in a bad season. Things will be okay. The reality is, no, this right here is your red flag. If you've been looking for red flags, this right here is your red flag. And it's time for you to get help. And one of the primary reasons why it's time for you to get help is because you don't know how to take the next steps towards healing. What you've learned is not sufficient enough to withstand the storm that's about to come. You know, and although we're all, you know, we all can be stubborn at times, like it's fine. Listen, I would not play Russian roulette with my marriage. I would not play Russian roulette with any of my relationships. And if I find that I am struggling to connect, if I find that, you know, maybe some of the signs are, you know, trying to control the relationship. You know, one of the primary reasons why we try to control our relationship, or the minute our partner says, damn, no matter what I do, it's never enough. If you're hearing those things, no matter what I do, it's never enough. I wish you would desire me more. I wish we would connect more. You know, I wish we would be able to see eye to eye. Like that right there, the minute you're saying all of those things, that right there is saying, hey, what's happening right now isn't working. And so we have to recruit help. We have to recruit help. Otherwise, we are going to rely on time to go ahead and heal, you know, this issue. And it's not. I see it's so many women, and this is part of the reason why, you know, outside of my practice, I started creating courses and I'm hosting retreats and workshops, because I've noticed that this is a little bit of an ongoing pandemic for all of us.
Yeah.
We don't know what we don't know. And most of the time when we make a move, I don't want to say it's too late, but you better have a really good damn therapist that knows that knows their craft, because you're now relying on that person to determine your life. And we don't want that.
And that's really interesting. And it brings me to this question. Okay, so if we are married to someone who doesn't share the same traumas or experiences that we experience, how do we inform them? Like, what's the language? Like, how do we communicate that to them?
Of course. So I remember Willie and I, this is after we had done some work. But I remember there was a point where I felt alone in our marriage. And again, this is the beginning stages. I felt so alone in the marriage. And I remember it felt as if I was suffering silently. I didn't know what it was, but I knew the feeling. I knew that it just didn't feel right. And I remember saying it out loud. And it was one of the most vulnerable states I had ever been. And again, this was unfamiliar. In my household, you were never vulnerable. In my household, you never cried. I mean, even when my dad died, I was not allowed to cry. Like, crying is a sign of weakness, right? And this is just the way it is. And and so I remember feeling this heaviness. And there was a part of me that didn't want to say it, because again, now you're putting yourself in his corner, and now he's gonna have full control over you, and that's the last thing you want, you know. But it was like, I couldn't do this anymore. I knew I couldn't do this anymore. Not that I couldn't do the marriage anymore, but I couldn't feel this way anymore.
Yeah.
And so I remember saying it out loud, and then it the craziest thing, Willie had never like hit me or anything, but it was kind of like I flinched, not like fear of him hitting me, but like fear of how he was going to either react or respond to what I had just said. I'd never done this before. And so I remember saying it, and then him just looking at me, and I'm like, well, shit, you know, why did I say that, idiot? Why would you say that out loud? Now the ball's in his corner, you know, now he has control over you, because again, that's what I grew up thinking. And I remember
it's that vulnerable.
Yes.
That vulnerability.
Oh,
yeah.
God, yes. And I remember, you know, him looking at me and him saying, because what I had said to him was, you know, when you're mad at me, I feel like you stop loving me. And and I remember him looking at me, and we were like, I was literally washing dishes and he was like chopping up vegetables. And I remember him looking at me and saying, Veronica, just because we're mad at each other doesn't mean that I stop loving you. And I remember when he said that, there was a part of me that obviously wanted to believe him, but there was the other part of me that was like, there's no way in hell that this is real. Like, there's no way. There's no way this is real. He must want something. Like, he has to want something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Transactional.
Yeah, exactly. And then I remember saying, and I'm like,
I can't believe I'm saying this right now. Like, I totally can't believe I'm saying this right now. Like, and I remember trying to convince myself, like, Veronica, shut up. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. But I remember telling him, you're the one person that could hurt me the most. And it was one of those things that I kind of like said, like, you're the one person that could hurt me the most. Done. Shut up, Veronica. Shut up. Like, really quick. Like, just shut up. You know, because it was like, I liked what was happening, but then I also, it was scary.
Yeah. You know?
And then absolutely. He looked at me and he just held me. And I'm like, there was a part of me that wanted to fight him, like literally, like punch him in the face, you know? And there was a part of me that wanted to fight him. There was a part of me that just wanted to be held. There was a part of me that wanted to cry. There was a part of me that was like trying to suck it in, like, suck it up, Veronica. We don't cry. You know, like, stop being a little bitch. Like, there was all of these feelings. And I remember, like, holy shit, this feels good. I want more of this. I want more of this. And that right there is what I would definitely recommend for your listeners to do. Like, if you're feeling just this overwhelming feeling, and it's just so, like, bear the weight of it anymore. Say something. I know you're scared. I mean, shit, if anybody knows, I definitely know you're scared. I've been there. And I'm here to tell you, like, there's so much healing when we're able to validate what we're experiencing in that moment.
To verbalize it out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
And then give it the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Give it a voice.
My goodness. I could just, like, see myself also being held, because I resonate with what you're saying. Like, I'm the type that, you know, avoid it. Is that what they call it? Like, attachment style? Like, avoid it, just disconnect, go do my own thing. But wow, the vulnerability that you just shared with us, I feel like we can all do a little bit more of that in our relationships. And this brings me to a question I had. So yeah, what is your number one way to, like, overcome this? Like, is there a therapy modality that you recommend? I know there's so many out there now. There's, like, EMDR. Of course, there's talk therapy. But in your practice, have you noticed a certain kind of modality or style that's been the most effective?
Definitely. So the style that I've noticed that's been extremely effective is cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT.
My favorite.
Right,
my personal favorite. Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I've noticed that that one has been so effective is because our thoughts, we are under the belief that they are 1,000% true. Like, it's 1,000% true.
Yeah,
you know. And unless we're shown how and why they're distorted, and if we have this generational trauma where everybody thinks the same. You know, no, like, in my household, never depend on a man. Never depend on a man. You know, that was, like, literally the statement. Like, that was, if you were a girl, that's exactly the conversation that was going to be had with you.
Yes.
Never, ever depend on a man, because he's going to cheat on you and he's going to leave you.
Make sure you have something.
Bingo. Hell yeah.
Oh, goodness. I've heard it all. Yeah.
Right? Make sure you have your own checking account.
And Mrs. Independent.
Bingo. Make sure you have your own checking account. If you don't have your own checking account, you know, have your own money stored away and just hide it. Hide it and don't ever tell him. Mm-hmm. And so in my, you know, for me, it was like, okay, I need a line. You know, I need to make sure I keep money away. And, you know, my husband's going to cheat on me and my husband's going to leave me. That was, like, my ongoing running theme. That was a thought. And so that thought was actually so predictive of my behavior.
Yes.
I'm not going to connect with him. I'm not going to open up with him. I'm going to store all of these emotions because he's going to cheat on me and he's going to leave me.
Right.
How distorted is that thought?
Yeah. The thoughts create the feelings.
Bingo.
Yep. The feelings create the behavior. So it's like, okay. Mm.
Well, the other missing component there, and that's where we throw in some DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy.
I love that one.
Recognizing the interaction between the thoughts, the emotions, and that physiological response, your body's sensation.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The fight or flight.
Bingo. So when you have these thoughts, you know, when you have these thoughts, when you have these emotions, and your body is reacting to these emotions, guess what we end up going into? We end up acting on our impulses and urges, and we stay there. But when somebody teaches you, wait a minute, you're actually catastrophizing. Here's why you're catastrophizing. You're actually overgeneralizing. You're using always and never, you know, dichotomous thinking. Let's go ahead and break mm-hmm. that down. You know, what's happening for you in your body? Well, I don't know. No, let's go ahead and break it down. When you feel resentment, where do you feel that? Well, I mean, I guess my heart starts to race and I guess my stomach, you know, I start to feel nauseous and I feel tightness. Ah, okay. Mm. Now take me through where frustration feels. Where's frustration in your body? But what those two modalities, you start to develop an understanding of how you are reacting to the world instead of responding. Mm. And now you have a clear understanding of, wait a minute, although I've had these thoughts, there's no proof. There's no true proof that these are facts. They're distorted thinking. And here's why. And now I could break it down. I don't have to rely on a therapist, but now I could totally break it down because I have these skills. And I now understand how I react and how now I can change that and challenge this thought so that I can respond.
Wow. I love that.
Oh my gosh. That was not reacting, powerful.
Responding. Yeah.
Right.
I'm writing these down.
Me too. It's like taking notes. DBT.
Yeah. No, it is such a powerful skill. And yeah. I wish they would teach this to all of our kids. God, yes, I agree. They would teach this Amen. To our kids, right? How to self-regulate.
Yes.
How to control. Because
that is really the key, mm-hmm. right? Self-regulating.
Yeah. How to self-regulate, how to communicate effectively what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh that social gosh. Emotional component.
Mm-hmm.
As schools are beginning to incorporate that a lot more.
Yeah,
I would say that. But yeah, finally, it's like, okay, this is the core of it all.
Yes. Really.
It's like, never mind what grades are we getting in math and science and how great we can be in all those things. But how great can we be in soothing ourselves and mm-hmm. self-regulating and, like you said, communicating effectively?
Communicating.
Yeah. Bingo. So, yes. Gosh. Wow, this is a lot. Like, it's so jam-packed and it's like, you know, it's something that you really have to sit down and really chew on all of mm-hmm. this information, which is beautiful. It's a lot of great information. And I do hope that people really chew on it. It's very valuable. Yeah. And thank you for doing this work.
Yeah,
we do want to wrap this up by asking this one final question.
Are you guys there?
Marriage. Oh. Yeah. Can you hear me? Sorry.
Oh, you just cut out.
Oh, I did. I do apologize. So my last question was, what is your secret to a lasting, loving, happy marriage?
$1 million question.
Be the best of friends. I can answer that so quickly. Be the best of friends. Be the absolute best of friends. Your best friend you support. Your best friend. If they come up to you and give you this crazy ass idea of like what their plans are to rule the world, you're like, girl, your car or mine? Like straight up, like your car or mine? You're not talking them out of it. You're like, hell yeah. We'll figure out the plan as we're on the road, but let's go, right? Like right away, you're just like, you're just as excited as they are. What I find with couples, especially married couples, they allow their fears to go ahead and then become their partner's fears. They now force those fears on them. And don't get me wrong. I totally get why. I mean, you know, finances, you know, you guys are sharing finances. You guys got kids, all of the things.
Yeah.
But honestly, I want you guys to take a look at your marriages and think about, when's the last time you actually had a deep conversation with your partner? Like, you know, one of the questions, Willie, you know, one of the last conversations we had, and it was like a deep one, you know, I remember asking him, what would you say is holding me back from pursuing my dreams? And I remember him looking at me, and we were hiking and it was on a cliff, and he started mentioning some of the things that, they're holding me, you know, some of my fears. And as he's opening up and communicating and
and saying my fears, my insecurities out loud, girl, I was like, that cliff looks pretty nice for me to accidentally.
Like, what happened to Willie?
I'm like, I don't know what happened to Willie. We're going to hike. I was there. He was there. And then he just didn't make it back. It was like a
but really, you know what? I love those honest answers, yes, because that's why, yes, we ask them of those people, you know, because you're like, I know he's going to be honest with, yes, me, and I'm ready for it.
Bingo.
That's, yes, how I am with my partners. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm ready to hear it, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm ready for the question because I know I'm ready for the answer because he's like that. He will, mm-hmm, give it to me how
truth
it
bomb.
Is. All right. Truth bomb. And I'm like, but I love it because I'm like, thank you. This is why. Because I feel like people like that, they have your best interest at heart, yep, right? They, course, have your back. Yep. They're not trying to like, oh, you know, it's fine. Yeah, it's okay. You have time. You can, no. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So
the real deal.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. That's a friendship, right? That's
bingo.
That's a friendship.
Yeah. That is key to, mm-hmm, building up that strong friendship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I feel so full, and I feel, this is so life-giving, honestly.
Oh my gosh, yeah,
it really is. And thank you again for your time, and please do tell us and our listeners where we can stay in touch with you. It's absolutely so fun. It's so fun following you on Instagram, honestly. It's, yes, a blast. Your energy is like crazy. It's like so,
I know you light everybody up.
Yeah,
you're,
you
like
have this light about you. Spark. It's like it's like when I look at you, I'm like, wow, she completely embodies this work that she does. Mm, and absolutely, like, who else can do it, you know? And mm-hmm, thank you for your work. So absolutely, do tell us.
Yeah, no, definitely. So you guys can follow me on Instagram, on social media. Hey, Veronica Cisneros. Mm-hmm. I do actually have a freebie for you guys. It's called The Marriage Predictor, and it's a free quiz. I'm, ooh, just trying to see where your relationship is at right now. You don't have to be married to take it. But you guys can access that free quiz by going to veronicacisneros.org/quiz. Again, veronicacisneros.org/quiz. I also have a podcast, Empowered and Unapologetic. You guys can definitely listen, ooh, to me there.
Oh my gosh. Your latest episode was all about, it was about marriage. Like, I didn't get to, yeah, listen to the whole thing yet. I'm going to listen to it today, but, mm-hmm, it was about how to, what was, it's, can you tell us, yes, the title?
It was definitely how to, get your partner. I'm like forgetting the title myself. It's how to encourage your partner to, oh my God, I'm like totally blanking right now. Here it is. It's like, right here. Here it is. I'm like pulling, yes, it up. How to get your husband more involved in fixing your marriage.
There you go. Oh, yeah,
yeah. And it's an episode, yeah, with Willie and I. Yeah, we're both on there.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's great. It's great to bring a man into the conversation because obviously that makes a total sense. I love that.
I'm gonna make Wesley listen to it with me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tune in for sure. Definitely. So you heard it. That's where we can stay in touch. This has been an awesome conversation and a great start to my day. So, mm-hmm, thank you, ladies. And to my listeners, sending you all so, so much love. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. We see you. We hear you. We do appreciate you. Until the next time, my friends, be well.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.